All right, ladies. Welcome to the Self-Care Before Sit-Ups, week 5, I believe we are at. And I have just had everyone listen to last fall's session on self-nurturing, in which led us to really a lot about weeding our garden, pruning, and the power of our thoughts, and how that propels us to the actions we take. And so everyone's listened to it, and this class for today is about just answering your questions and what came up that you have questions on. I would like to first ask if the women that are on the call would share your successes for the week. Does anyone want to start?
I can. I have a couple. As we were talking about the clearing out the clutter mm-hmm. from last week and stuff like that, and I was able to mark 2 things off of my tolerations list and stuff like that that I've been just putting off and stuff like that. So I felt good to get those couple things done and out of the way and don't have to think about them anymore. And the meditation that actually was able to extend a minute or two, but it is very hard to sit there when you're used to being on the go. So it was quite the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But made it through it.
Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? All righty then. Let's go ahead and, first of all, last week we talked about goals, and everyone forwarded me their goals, and I just wanted to ask how that went for everyone. We talked a little bit about before I started the recording, so feel free to repeat.
No, I think, you know, for me, it did feel very good to do it, but it's also scary in the same point that you don't want to fail at the goal, and, you know, now you've got it in writing, and it's like almost like a contract.
Uh-huh.
And that's a little scary and stuff like that. So, that's more where it's good to have it right in front of you, too.
Wonderful. How about you, Yvonne?
It's funny, when I went back to read them the next day, I'm like, wow, this is really good. Did I write that? It's almost like it's that mine. I am going to now, I haven't yet, but I'm right now going to put it in a prominent place and read it every day. So I found the real hard part to use the my and am and to put it in the present tense. Is that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was very foreign to me. So now that I know that will work better, I'll work on that.
Okay. And it's all about, next week I'm going to talk a little bit more about the subconscious and the conscious mind, but the subconscious mind does not know the difference between right or wrong or I or later, now or later. So when you start implementing the my's and I's and am's and now's and putting it in the present tense, the subconscious mind just accepts that. That this is all happening, and then that's when the particular behaviors and beliefs and actions start to change. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what questions did you two come up? Has anyone else joined us, by the way? Okay. So what questions came up as you were listening to the recording?
I had one that I don't know if you can clarify, but you were talking to the lady who had a lot of fear, and you said you can diet and do all the right things, but if you're hanging on to fear, your body won't lose weight. Did I understand that right?
If you what?
If you're hanging on to the fear that keeps, I mean, it'll keep you stuck where you are.
Yep.
Even if you're doing all the right things, eating right, exercising.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
Interesting.
Because you haven't hit the core issue, because if you're eating around the fear, and you haven't tackled the fear,
huh,
you will still subconsciously, without you knowing, continue to eat.
Okay.
You know, an example that some women will bring is like, they're trying to lose weight, they may go out for an evening, and they may get a compliment from the opposite sex. And then all of a sudden that really makes them very uncomfortable. And make, you know, for the last session's call, you know, for whatever personal reasons may have occurred, but if we get a compliment from the opposite sex, if we've had some type of experience, bad experience in childhood with it, we might just go back and sit down and have an extra glass of wine. Or the next time someone invites us to go out, we may say no, and we'll have perfect excuse. No, I'm busy, or I'm tired, or, you know, and there will always be an ounce of truth with every excuse, with every reason. And that's how we can continue to perpetuate ourselves on that hamster spinning wheel, because there is always going to be an ounce of truth to everything we tell ourselves. But it's very subtle. It can be very subtle. It could be, you know, staying home, having maybe an extra bag of popcorn here and there, having a glass of wine, an extra glass of wine, you know, after, you know, feeling that fear, those old feelings coming back. So sometimes it's very subtle, but it just keeps going in that direction. Before you know it, the weight has started to creep up again. Does that make sense to you, Stacey?
Mm-mm. It does. It makes a lot of sense, and until you actually hear it put that way, never would have thought about it.
No, and we, on a day-to-day basis, take actions. 90% of our actions and thoughts are more on the subconscious level. So the reason I'm bringing up a lot of the thought and feeling and nurturing and clutter and all the stuff we've been bringing up about the looking within is really starting to become more aware of what our surroundings are, what our actions are, what our thoughts are, what our behaviors are, because the more we become more aware, then we have, I would say, more wisdom and knowledge. And when that occurs and it comes up to the surface, that's the time to take action. Because you're ready. You're ready to look at it.
Finally ready to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Help to clarify that even more?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions?
Look at my notes here. you had mentioned, too, on that call that you were talking about your old habits.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of falling back on old habits just because they're comfortable. Can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes. When we are... Let's go back to the busy excuse. Because would that be something we could relate to? Busy, family, business,
yep,
work, all of that?
Yep.
Okay.
Too many things going on.
Okay. So let's go back to that. Why do we say yes all the time?
Because we're people pleasers. And.
Okay. And what do you get out of being a people pleaser?
Satisfaction, I suppose. You know,
the good pat on the back?
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel needed.
You feel needed?
You say yes because, they need me.
Mm-hmm. So that feels good?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
So when we are looking at wanting to feel needed, satisfied, feel good about ourselves, that is comforting. So what are we going to do to always make ourselves feel good and comforted? We're going to go to old habits that bring us to that point. So again, you may be, okay, I'm focused on exercising and taking care of myself, and I haven't really felt, you know, an example might be not real satisfied and uncomfortable saying no to the church functions that are happening. And they asked me to volunteer for this and for that. And I said, no, oh, my gosh. So I'm busy here exercising, feeling a little bit guilty, and I really want to feel good about something. So if I say yes to the church volunteer functions and I get praise for it and thanks, well done, and boy, you really came in and saved the day because I don't know what we would have done without you, it's a high. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Exercising on the treadmill might not get you the high that you really want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's easy to go back into old patterns and old habits of going into that chaos, busy lifestyle because you want the high of feeling satisfied and needed. So being uncomfortable about not feeling as needed anymore, not getting that type of satisfaction is going to feel a little bit unnerving. But you need to work. But if you work through that and past that, you're going to be able to open yourself up to other things that will give you the feeling of need and satisfaction that are more honoring to you, rather than draining. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
Okay. Same thing with the clutter. Decluttering. It frees you. It frees your mind. It frees the space in your home. And what that allows, if you understand, if you've studied law of attraction or law of polarity or the power of thoughts, you know, it's kind of a big thing going on right now. But once you're open and you're releasing that and you're allowing availability in there, then as long as you are focusing on good things for yourself, good things will come. And the people-pleasing might come from a different, totally different avenue that will not be as time commitment. And it may be stuff that you do for yourself that you, like, you know, feel good about it within yourself rather than looking, again, for outward source to make you feel good. The people-pleaser is looking for that outward source, that outer environment. I want to feel good. Well, maybe if I go volunteer here, I'll get that pat on the back and a well done and thanks for saving the day. But how do you find that within so you don't need that always? Because it's fattening.
Mm-hmm.
Did I elaborate enough to make that more understandable?
Yep, absolutely.
What else comes to mind?
There was another statement that you had made in there that you kind of repeated a couple different times. And, of course, I only caught part of it each time.
Okay.
It was about refraining yourselves from living, and that I can't remember if it had to do with the old habits or...
Yeah, let me see. I wrote that down. You fall back on old habits when busy. You refrain from repeating comfortable habits.
Yep.
Retains positive energy.
Okay. And then I did like the comment about for true change to occur, you need to work from the inside out. And mm-hmm. I think that learning that that's very true through the whole program and...
So what have you found over the last 5 weeks taking that type of approach? What has been a little bit more clear, an aha moment, something you've taken into action?
Probably focusing on kind of that thoughts, feelings, actions, results. And I think I told you I was working with Carol Nelson on a life management thing.
Oh, yep.
That also takes those same four steps.
Yep.
To living a healthier you, you know, inside and out,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So for me, anyway, working, you know, as soon as I heard you say that, I'm like, you know, that it is a major thing to deal with. Dealing with those things that maybe are on your mind all the time that are cluttering your own mind, not just your physical space that you're in, but your mind as well, and decluttering your mind.
Yes.
To be able to put the positive stuff back in it. And
mm-hmm. And to feel
mm-hmm.
positive.
Yep, because I think you just get on this negative train and it just goes,
mm-hmm.
it goes out of control.
Yes. How about you, Yvonne? What's coming to mind for you?
Well, definitely the clutter thing was a great connection. But just since yesterday, I didn't realize or I didn't think I was as black and white thinking as I maybe am. Because well, we talked about the exercise. Today, I put down what I was working on. I said, okay, 15 minutes, and I'm going to be happy with 15 minutes. Doesn't have to be 40 minutes on the treadmill. Mm-hmm. And I did it, and I'm okay with it. And that's kind of a different feeling, to be happy with those baby steps instead of it has to be all or nothing, because
mm-hmm.
then it's usually nothing.
Yep. Dang, when that happens.
So I think for me the big one is to be happy with the baby steps, because if you do enough of the baby steps, you're going to start taking leaps. So
yes, you will. Like great point to bring up.
Yeah, getting on the scale and not letting it devastate you if it goes a half a pound in the wrong direction, and just being able to let it go and go, you know what, but I did all these things right, and I'm going to do all these things, you know, as well, or... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one way to look at that is the scale, is to look, a great point I bring out that really helps many of my women is when you look at that scale, what do you feel like when the number goes down?
Well, sometimes, Amy, I celebrate.
Yeah, you feel great. You're like,
no,
yahoo.
Oh, yeah, let's go have that piece of cake. And so what does that mean? It's like, oh, yeah, I can cheat now.
Yeah, exactly. You feel like you have to have permission to cheat, and there's no such thing as cheating. Food is food. Cake
right.
has flour and eggs in it. Flour and eggs are great protein and yep. vitamin D. May have a little sugar. You may have some saturated fat, unless you use olive oil, then you get your monounsaturated fat in there. The healthier fat. But see how you place judgment on that?
Yeah.
And food is food. There's nothing to be judged about it. Now, if you eat the whole cake, was that really honoring you? But if you had a slice and really enjoyed every ounce and bite and crumb of it, then that's great. But going back to the scale, how do you feel when the number goes up?
Really guilty.
Really
bad.
Guilty.
You feel
sad.
Bad. You feel like... Hmm.
Okay, so when you feel sad and guilty, is it for an instant or does it kind of all day long? Here and there?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
Usually all day.
Okay, so what happens is that we look at the scale and we have this little number that has absolutely no meaning dictate our emotions for the day. We give so much of our power away to what this dumb number has to say. And the number is actually meaningless. Absolutely is meaningless. What does it matter that it says 160 in the realm of life, in the metaphysical world, to what if it says 140? Because you could cheat, you make the scale look at, you know, 160 look like a 140. You could make the scale look 160 to be a 100. It doesn't matter. It's the number. But what matters is the meaning in the belief system we have around what this number represents. And you are allowing that number to represent how you feel within yourself. And therefore, you give a lot of that power away to something that's so... to an object. So when it comes to the scale, for me personally, I say toss it away. And I do get some women to do that. Some people just hide it. But it really, when it comes to getting more empowerment and really looking at how you feel from the steps you are taking versus deciding how you're going to feel because of what the number says. So when you can take that away and focus on what you're doing for yourself on a day-to-day basis, a moment-to-moment basis, and that is honoring you, then that is what is important. That is taking your power back. That is becoming more self-empowered to do the things that you know that will lead to the results that you want. Because wonder if you are exercising and you are eating healthy and you are taking time for yourself and you're doing so well at all of this and the scale doesn't show it. Are you going to stop doing everything you've done just because that number didn't change? But in the physical, biological level, your blood pressure is going down, your cholesterol is leveling out, your hormones are leveling out, you're de-stressed, you're clutter-free. You find joy in your life, you're smiling more, you're laughing more, you're finding more peace within yourself, and you may be losing inches. The clothes may be fitting better, but all of a sudden that scale just hasn't changed for 6 months. And you're going to let that scale, that number, totally dissolve all of the good efforts that you've put together and how good you feel by other actions you are taking. It puts it a whole different perspective, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and probably before I would have just quit. Well, I have quit. And for that reason. Like, well, it's pointless. It's just pointless.
And we let that number dictate how we feel. And yet we probably are doing really great. And everyone loses weight at a different pace. I've had women that haven't lost a drop for 6 months, and boom, they'll drop 30 pounds. And I have women that will lose that 1 to 2 pounds a week. And I've had women that the scale won't change, but they'll drop 2-3 dress sizes. So it's really letting go of what that number shows. And I think back a couple weeks ago, or last week was it, what's the best way to really navigate specifically of measurements is body composition, is the body fat. Because that's one thing we don't see on the scale. But if we drop 0.5%, you know, and keep, and then move to 1%, and then 2%, then 3%, that is actually much more effective than what the scale says. And that also is much more a better health venue to decide for those outside points to come across of how you're doing. Also, tape measure. If we're losing inches, the scale may not show up, but tape measure may show a few centimeters here, 1/4 inch there. So when you get that frustration, to have those baselines and then go back and remeasure. Because the scale just does not show the true story. Never has. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. I think we're about at the top of the hour here. Any last questions?
Not for me. I'm pretty good now.
Any comments?
Definitely getting more interesting.
Yes. We're going to kind of dive more into the fitness realm now after this.
Okay.
And get more on the specifics. But this is a pretty powerful class, this one on the power of thoughts, the power of habits, getting into that comfortable, uncomfortable, looking at what your belief system is. Mm-hmm. Because we can say our goal. Another thing to look at, too, that I've just kind of these past few weeks have looked at and go and say my goal, and then I'll pause and I go, what do I really believe about this goal? And if my belief system is, yeah, right, like that'll ever happen, or, you know, in another lifetime, if those are the thoughts I'm having when I'm saying my goal, that is the energy I'm bringing. So one thing you have to look at is what is behind, kind of the thought behind, what's the belief behind the thought? And so if you can get to a point where your belief is strong and forward, then that's going to also propel you to take more positive actions and behaviors. So really hone in on your thoughts. You may be saying your affirmations. You are saying your goals. Pause and ask yourself, what are my beliefs around that goal? And if it's scary, scary is okay. Scary is good. Because that doesn't mean that you don't believe it. It just says, wow, won't that be awesome when that happens? If you're fearful and you're scared, you go, oh, I don't want to. I'm too scared. No, I don't think so. Okay, then it's not going to go anywhere. So play the what-up game. If you have that feeling and that belief that isn't honoring to the goal or the affirmation, you have to change the thought and you have to say, what do I need to believe to make this a reality, to make this goal feel real to me? What do I need to believe? And you will take from baby steps to those leaps that Yvonne was speaking on. All righty, we're at the top of the hour. And we will meet next week. Everyone have a happy Easter at the time of this recording. It's Easter. So have a wonderful Easter, a great weekend, and I look forward to your comments, questions. Continue to email me. I love getting feedback and love giving you guys the feedback. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.